Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to Heart and Soul, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. I'm Jory Fisher, your host, and joining me today, June 16th, 2010, and every week at this time, is my dear friend and co-host, Beth Scanzani. Would you like to greet our listeners, Beth?
Hi, everybody.
I'd like to extend a warm welcome to our faithful fans and participants, and an especially warm welcome to those of you who are listening to Heart and Soul for the first time. Well, we have an interesting situation today, Beth, don't we?
Every day is interesting, Jory.
Well, that's true. Well, our topic today is supposed to be overcoming obstacles, and our guest is the amazing Deb Scott, who is a motivation and lifestyle consultant and author of the incredible book, The Sky is Green, and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. And I have this book right in front of me, and I've read it, and, you know, Deb just did a great job. But our situation is that we don't know if Deb is having trouble perhaps getting onto the line or what's going on, but we don't have a guest right now. So we're not even going to try to steal her thunder and say, well, this is what Deb would have said. Instead, Beth and I are going to talk for a few minutes, and if Deb is not able to join us, I know it's because something of paramount importance has come up because she's so eager to be on this call, and we'll just have her back another time. Does that sound good to you, Beth?
Sounds great, because I'm really looking forward to talking to Deb, and I'm sure the listeners will get a lot of value out of the conversation that we have and the book that she's written. So I'm very excited about doing that.
Yep. And in the meantime, I would recommend that perhaps you go on to Amazon.com and check out.
We may have Deb here. Hold on.
Really?
I've actually been on since 10 minutes of, but for some reason it didn't pick up and say, hello, you know, she's here, because it said you're in the host queue. So I've been here since 10 minutes of 12. I'm listening to you saying, now that's upside down.
Well, see,
well, how appropriate.
Take an upside down situation and make it right.
Just waiting for the drum roll. Oh, my goodness, that is too funny.
That is funny.
Glad you are here. Also, take a moment and get centered. Hum.
Oh, I've been sitting here listening to the Blog Talk music since 10 minutes of, and I hit the one for the host cue. So I've been waiting, and I was listening, and I was like, I wonder when they're going to say hello, and they're busy.
Aww.
And I know that Beth wasn't feeling good yesterday when we talked, and you've
right.
been out and doing some things, but it's
wow.
all good. So now we're all here.
Well, let me ask a technical question. How did you finally appear all of a sudden?
I had to call in again once I realized that you didn't know I was in the queue.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we started talking. This has never happened before, but you know what? Thank you. If it had to happen, Deb, I'm glad at least it's with a person who's as flexible and upbeat and optimistic and everything as you are, and it occurred to you to call back in. So thank you.
It's all good. It's all good.
There you go. And Beth and I will know to warn our future guests about this little glitch.
Well, when the callers come in, you know, they'll know that they can call back if there's maybe a little bit of a technical difficulty or something. But anyway, I could hear you. I was excited. I was listening. I just was like, wow, they don't know I'm here.
I'm glad we just kept talking. Well, at any rate, Deb, welcome, and would you just give us a couple of highlights so that we can pique the interest of our listeners if we haven't already done that?
Yes, well, hey, this is the moment. There's always green sky moments of things being a little upside down, and that's life. And you can do everything right, and sometimes things happen. But no worry, because everything can be transformed from bad into great, and fizzle into sizzle, and we can make junk and do jewels. So that's the tools that we're going to get today, and I'm really excited because your show is a chapter in the book, Surrounding Yourself in Transformation, and it's just so exciting to be here because you're doing exactly what's in the book.
I know it. When I read your book, I'm like, all right, this is a good fit.
Absolutely.
Well, great. Well, I hope that you will consider us a resource to give your readers and your listeners and everybody that you talk to, because I know you speak to audiences as well. So thank you, Ms. Deb. Well, we look forward to hearing more from you. But before we begin, I just want to give our listeners a framework for the show and for today's call. Best of my vision for Heart and Soul is to create a place, number one, where you can be inspired, encouraged, and supported by people who are making a meaningful difference in their own lives and in the lives of others. And number two, where you can gain some insight into your life purpose and how you can express that unique life purpose to the fullest. Best of my motivation for hosting Heart and Soul is our deep desire to fulfill and express our respective life purposes, which includes helping you discover who you are and how you're meant to use your gifts and talents in the world around you. I'm going to go ahead and just tell you a little bit about the format of our show. To listen live by telephone at 12 noon Eastern or 9 a.m. Pacific each Wednesday, call 1-347-326-9296. To listen live online or to listen to any of our on-demand shows, go to blogtalkradio.com, type Jory Fisher, J-O-R-Y-F-I-S-H-E-R, Jory Fisher, in the search box, then click on today's episode or the archived episode that you wish to hear. If you wish to join our live chat room discussions or share your voice in our on-air conversations, you need to register first by clicking on register on the homepage of blogtalkradio.com and entering your name and email address. And remember, you can always download the episodes as MP3s or to iTunes. So, Beth, you want to say a little bit about the itinerary?
Sure. Thanks, Jory. So, the bulk of what we're going to do today is talk to Deb, which is fabulous. I can't wait to do that. I've also read the book, and it's interesting. You know, things aren't always as they appear to be. So there you were, Deb, but we just couldn't see you.
Ha-ha.
But you were there all the time. And that reminds me a lot of life. A lot of times, you know, we just don't know what's actually there, and we're just not seeing it. So,
wow,
that was the meaning I made out of our beginning to the show.
See, this is your reason for being, Beth, is to bring things like this to our minds, because I never would have thought of something like that. But there you are, doing it again. Thank you.
Yes. It's the dream worker in me.
best people we know club. It has to be us. This is good. It's all good, see?
All good, yes, yes. So we're going to spend a good amount of time talking to Deb, and as Jory was saying, we really do encourage you to participate actively. You can either send comments or questions through the chat room, or you can call online. I'll give you the number one more time. It's 347-326-9296, and then press 1 if you want to join the conversation. And at certain breaks during the show, we will give people an opportunity to ask questions. And then before we close the show, as we do every week, we'll give you a sneak preview of the next edition of the show. And also, before Deb finishes, we'll have her give you a coaching suggestion, which is something that we also do every week. And one of the things that I love about the show, because Jory and I get coached every week. So, wonderful. So I suppose the next thing to do is really to introduce Deb and get the show going.
Yes, I would love that.
Okay, great. So it is my honor and my pleasure to formally introduce motivation and lifestyle consultant, author, and a very successful and happy woman from everything that I gather and have heard, and that is Deb Scott. And as I said, Deb is a motivation and lifestyle consultant, and she specializes in working with businesses and also in corporate environments to transform poor interpersonal dynamics and low-energy groups, I've run into a few of those in my time, into high-powered, successful, and dynamic teams. Now, it's interesting, she was a biology major in college, and then became an award-winning sales and leadership specialist. And she had 20 years of experience in cardiac surgery sales. And today, Deb is applying her sales and her business background to motivational speaking and consulting in the fields of sales, marketing, advertising, hiring, and team building. And she's the author of the book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. This is her first book. Congratulations, Deb.
I'm very excited. Thank you.
Oh, you're so
awesome. This, yeah, it's just so great to be here because you're really all about everything that the book is about, and that's taking those things in life and, you know, that we all have, even Blog Talk Radio glitches or whatever, little things, and they happen during our day, but it doesn't stop us and it doesn't prevent us from getting things right side up. So if any of the listeners today have experienced maybe some of the things that I had experienced, and, you know, on the outside, I had a really great, and I did have a great, sincere, successful career in cardiac surgery sales. And by worldly standards, on the outside, you know, looking great, making the right amount of money, and very successful, and winning all the sales award and the All About Me show with the I Love Me wall and all that egotistical stuff that, you know, I don't even know where those things are now. But, you know, I think that inside, what we are, and on the outside, sometimes it doesn't match. And sometimes the things that, you know, you're only as sick as your secrets that go on in our life, they can cause us pain. And for me, I had had an experience when I was younger with sexual abuse in school. I had some family dysfunction, probably not unfamiliar to most of us listening right now. Some people in my family, you know, were, I guess, working alcoholics, but it was still in the family, in the dynamics. It does affect us. And all of those things lead into attracting somebody that perhaps in a relationship has those same issues. And because we attract what we are, and those things that eventually when we hit that rock bottom, like I did, in a relationship with somebody I was going to marry, actually, that was really hitting the rock bottom for me, there's always that moment where we just say, you know, I can't make one more move in my life, and we have a choice. Are we going to get it right side up? Are we going to transform that tragedy into a mission and a miracle, or are we going to stay down? And both ways are difficult, and I know I searched and searched and searched, and I don't know who the famous person that said it, but somebody said, if, you know, the book you want to read hasn't been written yet, then you have to write it. And for me, along with a promise to my mom, you know, before she passed away, this is everything that I gathered that helped me. Every resource, every person, place, thing, you name it, I did it, and I put it in the book. So I'm just sharing everything I can so that people listening know to not give up 5 minutes before the miracle, and the best is absolutely yet to come. And the things that you hate are going to be the very things that you love. And I promise you that, you know, you have no idea. You don't know what you don't know, how great it's going to be just around the corner. And I am living proof. And if I can do it, anybody can.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
Beth, if you don't mind, dear, I'd love to jump in with something.
Sure.
Is that okay, Beth? Okay. Well, Deb, I was wondering if you could just relate the donkey story from your book, and if not, I have it open right here so I can help you out if you don't have it memorized.
No. Oh, are you kidding? That's my mantra. I've got the happy doggy story song going along. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that's the analogy of life, isn't it? There's a donkey. The farmer has the donkey. If nobody's heard it before, but the farmer has this donkey, and the donkey falls into a well, and the donkey falls into a well, and the donkey's old, so the farmer's just saying to himself, well, forget it, you know, I can't get the donkey out, he's old, he's a has-been, so we'll just leave him in the well, and we'll just get all of the neighbors over, and we'll just bury him, because it's a hopeless case here, let's just forget it and bury it. And so everybody comes over and starts throwing dirt on the donkey, and the donkey's crying, and he's very pitiful, and he's very sad, and he's in despair, and he just knows death is coming, and there's no choice for him. And, you know, all of a sudden, after about 10 or 20 minutes, and all the people are throwing this dirt in the pit on the donkey, they realize he's not crying anymore. It's kind of like, well, what's up with that? And before you know it, they see the donkey as they keep shoveling the dirt. All of a sudden, the donkey comes out of the well. He's right there on the top of it, and he's shaking off the dirt, and he runs off into total freedom. Well, what did the donkey do? The donkey took the dirt that was shoveled on him on his back, and he shook it off. And when it shook off, it fell to the ground, and when it fell to the ground, it made him rise higher to the top, and that's when he took a step up with the dirt that was shoveled on him, and with every pound of dirt that was shoveled on him to bury him, he took a step up, turned it around, and it gave him his freedom. And the real crux of the story is not only did he get out of the well, but because of that tragedy of falling in, he experienced total freedom from being a slave to that farmer for the rest of his life. Had he never fallen in the pit, he would have spent his life a prisoner to that farmer forever and ever and not even known the difference. So the very thing that he hated ended up bringing him the freedom that he could have never anticipated by shaking the dirt off and taking a step up. And that is what we are doing here today.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, absolutely. And it's funny, too, because I shared that there was a quote in your book, and I love, one of the things I love about your book, Deb, is there's so many quotes.
Yeah.
Wonderful quotes, and I love them, and I shared one with my son this morning, and it was about, you know, the failure is not in the, you know, in failure. The failure is not in the failure. The failure is if you don't get up. You know, it's not in the falling down. It's in the refusal to get up or the not getting up, and so that also, you know, seems to really tie in well with the donkey story. And I'm wondering if you could kind of take that donkey story and parallel your journey. And so, how did you turn your upside down world right side up?
Yeah. Well, let me take a practical example with the alcoholism. Knowing it, maybe some of the listeners today know somebody that is. You know, drinks a little too much or is maybe in some type of an addiction or just maybe has something, it could be anything, fill in the blank, that is not healthy and bringing you peace in your life with somebody that you know. So for me, you know, you say to yourself, there's no good that can come out of such a tragedy. You know, any type of addiction is terrible. It's devastating. And people can be victims in this. And that's the real world. There's no thinking that away. So how do you get that to be a good or a great? For me, people or somebody had recommended something called Al-Anon. And if, for the people that don't know that, there's 12-step meetings, like AA, and a lot of people, as was true for me, have never heard of other 12-step programs that have nothing to do with alcohol, because really, if you put in your town and something that you want to get rid of and then put 12-step next to it, you will be surprised that there is a 12-step program for everything under the sun, from emotions to eating to depression to just stress. So for me, getting into Al-Anon took the breaking and the pain and the heartache and the tears and it just horrible, horrible suffering to get into this group called Al-Anon. And this 12-step group, which I thought was going to help me deal with the alcoholic in my life, gave me 12 steps for daily living that I tell you, for a dollar donation, has been the best thing I have ever done to change my mind for the positive than any amount of money, anything under the sun. This group has been a transformation machine. And what it does is it gives you a recipe for living and a practical environment in these four walls, which is safe, non-denominational. It's not with any particular religion or anything. It's just the focusing on the higher power, but learning from the experience, strength, and hope of others. And so now I can understand when I first went in, I heard people saying, thank God for the alcoholic in my life. And I thought, what are these people, nuts? Who could possibly say that this is a good thing? I mean, you know, you can't think that this is great if it's not. I mean, you know, it just is what it is. But now having experienced that strength and hope and those tools for everyday living, those great mind vitamins that I can take on a regular basis, I can see those perennials coming up every year in the garden of my life because I'm practicing those steps. And am I doing it perfectly all the time? No, but I have them, and that's better than not having them. And it's given me a better way to live all the way around. So the one problem I went into fixed everything beyond that for every area of my life. And I wouldn't trade that experience for the world if that's what gave me the gift to live a better life with those 12-step programs. And that is a practical application that in a small way, and I know we only have a short amount of time here, but that's what this is about. That's what these pages of Green Sky, Blue Grass and about are about.
Beth, it's a lot like...
Yeah, and... I'm wondering, too, you know, because the 12-step program has a lot in it. So what were some of the steps in the program that were most helpful to you and why?
Yeah. Well, in fact, I just wrote a blog post about this. So if anybody wants to read it, it's GFMG, Your Way to Happiness, and it's on greenskyandbluegrass.com. But the 12 steps are broken down into four groups. And the first one would be giving up, which means you give up the fact that you have total control over the universe. No, you do not make the sun shine in the morning. I know that we get very busy with all of our gadgets during the day and think that we have to control everything and every minute, but guess what? We are not in control. So whoever that higher power is, for me it's God, but it could be the universe, it could be nature, you know, whoever it is for you, the focus is giving up the control and accepting that things are not the way you want them to be. Because you can't get a gift in your hands. You can't accept any gift in your hands if your hands are already filled with something else. Or if your fists are clenched closed, how can you receive a gift that somebody's trying to hand it to you? They could be 2 inches away, but if you don't take the gift, you'll never get it. So that's what this giving up part is, and that's what the first three steps are. And the second ones are forgiving and fessing up. So when you're fessing up, you're really saying, okay, I'm part of my problem. I've got one finger pointed at you and three fingers pointed back at me. So I have three more at me than one at you, which means I should keep the focus on myself, which means I'm going to realize if I'm part of my problem, I can be part of my solution. And I do have a choice, because I think what brings us to great unhappiness is this claustrophobic feeling that we have no choice. But just because we don't know that we have a choice doesn't mean we don't have choices. So that's the fessing up. So then you want to be able to grow up and realize that the process is something that never ends. You are not going to graduate from the business of living. And I think that some of us believe that somebody else has it over us. Somebody else is prettier. Somebody else is exempt from suffering because they have, you know, tons of money, or somebody else is prettier, smarter, or has a better job. But if we take everything in a piece of, if we do that Ben Franklin and say, okay, if I had this, then I would be happy. If I could do this, then I would be happy. If this person would get out of my life, then I'd be happy. If this person would come into my life, I would be happy. If only then. But if we take all of those things and then we find somebody else that has them, we will discover quite quickly that they have something that they're not happy with. So the truth is, it's not that thing. Having that thing does not make one happy, because somebody else has it, but they're not happy, and they might be wanting something that you have. So the growing up in the part of the process is, I love quotes, but I've got so many in my head I can't remember them. I think it was Zig Ziglar who said, you have to take motivation steps every day, and people say it's you know, well, it's too much work, and it's like, well, so is taking a shower, but you do that every day too, you know? So the whole idea that, you know, this is something that you do just like everything else, and the reward is so much better than the alternative, because it takes work to be miserable and it takes work to be happy, but which one's going to give you the better investment in yourself? And
yes,
that's the idea.
Deb, I'd love to interrupt for a second. On page 168 of your book, you have so many quotes, so I'll just read this one from Helen Keller. Many people have a wrong idea of what constitutes true happiness. It is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose. And then you go on to say something that Beth and I love. This is quoting Deb Scott. Make your purpose to help other people find their purpose. This is a worthy cause God will always reward. God is never outdone in generosity. And I just think that those two quotes, one from Helen Keller and one from the famous Deb Scott, actually relate perfectly well to what you're saying right now.
Well, you know, this is what's so great about a show like yours and all the listeners, and I hope people call in or you know, get involved in the chat line, that we all do help each other to get that different perspective, or even, you know, even as Beth had taken a different vision of you know, the call-in or whatever. I mean, there's always something that you can gain from every experience if you're open to it and if you're willing to look at it that way. And also believing that there is that unconditional, you know, loving God or universe that is watching out for you, and realizing that it doesn't depend on how we feel. And feelings are like clouds. They move around a lot, but they don't have any substance. And that's one of the things in turning a green sky to true blue, is realizing that you can have a feeling, but that doesn't mean that that's who you are. And think of when we talk, we say to each other, or ourselves, we say, why am I thinking that? Why am I thinking that? But see, if you were the thought, then you wouldn't say, why am I thinking that? Because the that is the thought, which is separate from the I. So when we have these thoughts that, you know, the feelings, thoughts, behaviors, which is that infinite circle that goes on and on, you know, we can just stop and detach from it. And what we need to be able to fill it with, the void, is good, healthy mind vitamins. Okay, so if you don't want to go to the hardware store for bread and you want to get good mind vitamins, you have to go to the shop that says good mind vitamins are here. And where are they? They're in a radio show like this. They're in a 12-step program. They're in a CD. They're in a seminar. They're in a retreat. They're in your prayer life. They're in the positive affirmations. They're in the two-minute volunteering. They're in the successful sabotage. They're in all these great tools that are available for little or no money and virtually no time. And quite honestly, I think they're a lot of fun. I mean, we're having a good time right now.
Absolutely. Amen. And people don't realize the power, and you talk about this a lot in your book, Deb, and I've know a lot about it from other places too, is that they don't realize that the words that we use, the thoughts that we think and the words that we use, absolutely shape our experience of life. And you talk about the things we surround ourselves with, but it's also just paying attention to the words that we use. You know, how did we describe that meeting we came out of? You know, did we say that we were just raked over the coals and, you know, people were backbiting and just create this horrible image, you know, of what that was like? Or, you know, can we look at it in a different way that's more empowering and less negative? Because if we're going to look at it as a, you know, a horrible image, that's the image that we're going to have and carry with us to the next meeting.
Yeah, everything has power. Words have power. What we look at has power. I mean, heck, you can go to a scary movie and 2 hours later, I mean, if any of us, I'm dating myself now, went to go see The Exorcist. I mean, that was a horror movie.
I knew you were going to say that.
That was a horror movie. Oh, that, I'm really dating myself now on my age. But boy, I remember going to that, and my parents didn't want me to go. But, you know, we all went. And, I mean, you couldn't get in the house. You kept thinking the head's going to turn around and the green tongue. And, you know, I didn't want to sleep in my room alone for I don't know how long. But, you know, if we go to a movie And think about this. We go to a movie, we know we're going to be entertained. We know it's not real. We're paying money for it. I mean, we're all intelligent enough to know if you go get a ticket for The Exorcist, it's not real. Yet, in the span of 2 hours, that will have a lasting effect on us for how long? We'll have, we'll be so scared and frightened, it physically makes us shiver and sweat. I mean, that was a horrible, horrible, scary movie. You know, that was a big effect for 2 hours. Space of time. So as you were saying,
I'm still talking about it,
and it's been a lot of years. So there you go. And here's the analogy. If you're doing something every day, like you were saying, Beth, Dory, if you're every day you're saying something, think of how much that's affecting you. If you repeatedly say and do and look at these things on a regular basis,
yeah, the stories that we tell ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, and the brain doesn't really know the difference in many respects between what's actually happening and what we're imagining is happening.
Whoa.
Yeah. And, they've done the studies with people who imagined that they were practicing piano or imagined that they were shooting a basketball. And there are a whole lot of studies like that.
Yeah.
And they had control groups who actually did the practicing and some who just imagined it. And the improvement in the group that imagined it was as good as, I don't remember exactly, it was as good as or maybe it was even better than the one who actually practiced. So the brain in many ways does not differentiate between what's actually happening and what we believe or practice or imagine is happening.
Yeah, and that's true, and that's very powerful. And the biology major in me loves those scientific studies. But, you know, you can back all of these things up with studies like that, and it's absolutely true. And, you know, that's good news. That's good news because, you know, if things are bad, then you have a reciprocal amount of great, you know. It's just getting it in that transformation machine and having those tools to recognize and be able to implement them, just as you said with that story or that study with the mind study. And it's those are great.
So I want to move to some other things, Deb, but before I do, I have to ask about the situation where you lost all your money in the midst of all this, and how did you turn that right side up?
Yeah, and that's an ongoing process too, believe me. When my parents had passed away and I took care of both of them until they died, so I actually stopped working, I had put some money in something called Millennium Bank, which was supposed to be safe CDs with interest income checks coming out of Washington Mutual, which has now disintegrated and J.P. Morgan Chase has taken it over. So supposedly this interest rate was going to be good enough so that I would be able to finish cleaning this project of going through my parents' things from their passing to empty the house out to sell it. And in putting it in there, it ended up being similar to Madoff and Stanford. It was fraud. It was all fraud, and I didn't even know what I hate to say it, the Ponzi word. I didn't even know what that was, you know, at the time before this all hit the news. So, you know, and let me tell you, it's absolutely devastating when you get that information and you want to talk about helpless and you think you've done your due diligence and you've researched and you've spoken to so many other people and this is a safe term certificate of deposit in the United States and all of that. So guess what? It's been a year now, and yes, I'm still working, and we're working with a private lawyer, and we've got hopefully some help to get the money back, and hopefully we'll get a good portion back, and I'm still hopeful of that. But I think that what that has done for me and maybe some of the listeners is realize you think you can't live without something, or you identify, you don't really know how attached you are to something until you lose it. And unfortunately, I think that when it comes to finances, yes, we have to have money to live in the earth, but we realize that our money is our wealth in the finances that we have, or is our wealth in who we are? And I know that a year ago, I would never be thinking that this would still be going on, but I've lived, I've survived, I've met some great people that have done some things that have been so phenomenal. I would have never experienced these beautiful jewels in my life from these people had it not been from this experience. And then I find out I have an opportunity to discover the amazing me. I have a tagline, discover the amazing you. The sky is green, the grass is blue. But, you know, I'm learning this myself, and I'm not talking and telling somebody else to do something that I don't do every day myself, and that's why I know that it's the best way to live. But there are always gifts in everything, and you always keep hope. You always keep hope and never give that up. But realize that we don't know how strong we are. We don't really know the values and the strengths that we have, and we sometimes cannot understand the gifts in other people if it's not for an experience that creates some suffering to crystallize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the good news.
Yeah, it's funny. Dreams work the same way. I think that, you know, sometimes it takes a nightmare to get our attention. You know, if you follow your dreams, you might find that there are themes that are coming up, and you know, you might pay attention. Same with your waking life. There are things that keep coming up, and you know, for example, recently they tell me, "Slow down, Beth. You know, slow down. You're burning the candle at both ends here." And we have lots of opportunity to pay attention to the little messages that come along in our dreams and in our waking life. And if we don't pay attention, something bigger happens, and then we pay attention.
Like
yeah. Then we get to pay attention. So, yeah. So.
Paying attention is good. And, you know, what can help us pay attention is spending time in prayer. And people are like, oh, you know, I've tried everything, but I guess I should try to pray now. That's upside-down thinking. You know, prayer should be the very first thing. And prayer doesn't have to be a big religious, you know, hour-and-hour event. It's the prayer is the condition of the heart, and it's the silence to be able to hear, am I feeling peaceful? Am I feeling confusion? You know, what's going on inside of me? And, you know, nature, you put a seed in the ground, and it comes up on its own, but you have to put it in the ground, or, you know, a bunch of dirt is never going to grow a plant. You've got to put the seed in the ground, and then the process will unfold. And we have to put those seeds in our heart in that silence, and then they will be able to unfold. And help us to make better decisions, and you know, think about the people that we're associating with. Because if you stand next to a pile of manure long enough, you're going to start smelling like it pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to really be careful. And just as you said, Beth, you have to think about what you're thinking about. It's not rocket science, and it's simple, but that's the truth.
Absolutely, and then turn it right side up.
Yeah.
And prayer is an interesting thing, because some people pray very regularly, and that's natural to them. And some people, you know, it's not natural for them. And one of the things that struck me is that some of the things that I put together were that there was a quote in the book also about, you know, you can an entire forest can be created from a single acorn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought about that, and I said, so if, you know, if a person just starts by praying once, or they start by doing something once, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, you know, just start by doing something small once. Start by trying it. See what happens.
Yeah, and I love stories, as you can tell, because, you know, to me, I think they're fun. But two things that may illustrate that to the people with us today, the ABC story on prayer, and this is why you can't be thinking it's upside down to be thinking prayer has to be a really big deal. So if you don't know how to pray, this is the story that you want to listen to. A little boy in the field, and he's saying his ABCs. And so the man comes by, and he's hearing this man saying, this little boy saying the alphabet, and he wants to know what he's doing. So he goes up to the little boy, and he's like, well, what are you doing out here in the forest all by yourself saying your ABCs? And he's like, I'm not saying my ABCs, I'm saying my prayers. And the old man looks at the young boy, and he's saying, you're not saying your prayers, you're saying the alphabet. And the little boy looks up at him, and he says, well, I send the letters up to God, and he knows what I need to say. You know, so God knew the prayer, and the boy just sent up the letters. And I love that, because it's the condition of our heart. The very fact that we desire to pray is the best prayer you could ever say. And And to your point about just doing the next right thing, you know, people are like, well, what do you do? Well, guess what? It doesn't have to be done perfectly. It's the progress, not perfection. But you have to be in motion. So think of this analogy when you don't want to take action. You sit in your car and you move the steering wheel and tell me how fast the wheels will move to the right or to the left. I guarantee you that none of us listening right now can turn those wheels when the car is stopped. But if we all turn the ignition on and put the car in forward gear, we can take, with a very small amount of effort with our wrist, turn the steering wheel, and the wheels will go wherever we want, to the right or to the left. We can even turn them around. So what is that analogy supposed to do for you? It's supposed to make you accept the fact that you have to get into motion to have any of these things that we're talking about today take effect. You cannot expect to just listen to this and then do nothing with it. You've got the seeds in you now from replaying this great blog talk radio station every week and signing up and using this mind vitamin therapy, but you got to just try to put something into motion. And just like the headlights on your car, you know, they see a little bit in front of you in the dark night, a little bit and a little bit, but you don't stop the journey because you can't see from Boston to California. No, you get up and you go.
Yes.
So don't worry about getting everything right side up tomorrow. You know, seeds, your tree doesn't grow 20 feet in 20 minutes. Just start now, and you already have if you're listening, and that is a congratulation moment for all of us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, you know, and I hate to start to wind down, but for time we're going to have to. I could talk to you for a whole nother show. I'm Joy.
Yeah.
Joy, I'm sure you haven't barely even had a chance to jump in.
No. Can I just jump in with one thing, though, Beth? Really
sure, and then I'm going to try to wind down.
Gotcha. Okay, first of all, on page 229, you say, get yourself in motion and the magic will begin to appear. So that's right on point. Love that quote of yourself. And then secondly, did you notice it when you were talking about you got to get the ignition going and then all the steering and everything will work well? Well, you know what I'm thinking? That's with power steering. And the power comes from God, or what you want to say, because remember, a long time ago, it didn't used to be quite like that. Before power steering, you could start it up, but it still was kind of burdensome to turn that wheel. But, you know, I like to think that when you're all powered up and juiced up and you have, you know, God working in you, then everything, as you say, the magic begins to appear. Even better.
I love that. You're my next blog post, Power Stealing. Tune in. Check it out. It'll be coming. I love that. That's great. But see, this is something that if we weren't talking and sharing, we wouldn't be getting these ideas. And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with the people that you want to be like, because you are who you associate with. And power steering, I love that. That's great.
That's
super.
That's great, great.
Back to you, Beth.
Absolutely. So, Deb, so how can people get in touch with you to learn more about the book and your blog and where you might be speaking? How can they get in touch with you?
Yep. Well, you can just go to Green Sky and Bluegrass, www.greenskyandbluegrass. And there's, if anybody's curious to check out the book before going to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, there's a free download chapter there, and somebody's at the door. I'm just having all sorts of fun things happening on this show today. That's Beju saying hello now.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, everything happens, but it just gives it. Now we got both of them. Somebody's at the door. I can't see. I can't control someone coming to the door. And so they can go to Amazon or Kindle or Barnes & Noble, but if you want to get a free chapter download, www.greenskyandbluegrass.com, and there's all sorts of Mind Vitamins, email list, and all of that there, and, you know, tons and tons of information. So it's a happy place. Hopefully people will stop by and feel great about it.
I'm sure they will. So every week we also provide for people a coaching suggestion. And Deb, I know that you have some ideas in mind for the listening audience. So would you talk about that?
Yep. Well, this is what we're going to do today. We're going to do successful sabotage. And successful sabotage is taking the upside down of sabotage and making it successful. So you live in your house, so make your house come to life. So right now, just take 3 pieces of sticky paper and write down 3 different goals. Maybe it's an affirmation. Maybe it's something you heard in the radio show. Maybe it's something that you want to change and something that you want to get more of or something you want to get rid of. And you're going to take those sticky notes and put one on your bathroom mirror so that you see it in the morning, in the evening, so that you're getting that positive mind vitamin therapy first thing in the morning, because that's an unavoidable place, so you're sabotaging yourself for success there. Then you're going to take another sticky note, and you're going to put it in a pair of shoes that you don't necessarily wear all the time. But when you go to get them out, you're going to be surprising yourself with this great mind vitamin in a pair of shoes. And then you're going to take another sticky note, and you can put it somewhere near your car, a coffee pot, or something else, someplace else that you are. Maybe it's, you know, someplace, you know, people don't necessarily use day timers anymore, but whatever it is that you're using for your briefcase or something for work, you're going to put it in there. So now you've got these strategic places to get these mind vitamins, and you've sabotaged yourself for great success. And those are easy things to do that don't cost anything.
Absolutely. You know what I love about that? I'm sorry, I keep going here, but I love about the examples you used. The one was on the mirror, so where we see ourselves, okay, reflection of ourselves. The other was in our shoes, and in the bottom of our shoes, our souls, so close to our soul. And the third was in the car, where we travel in our journeys. Like, ooh, what crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I
people
love that.
This
and then we're
path.
Doing our work.
Well, we are the best people we know. I never thought of that. That's another blog post. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that, Beth. Wow, that's great. Thank you.
You're
so that's great. Well, so we can all do that and check back with each other and see how it goes, because I guarantee it'll be phenomenally fabulous, without a doubt.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Deb. I know that we could use a lot more time, but unfortunately we're out of time, and I'm going to have to turn it back to Jory. Is there anything that you want to say before we...
Well, you had asked about my favorite quote, so I would just put this out there. Be yourself. Everybody else is already taken.
I love that. I love that.
Do you remember who said that?
I don't, and I have to find out because I don't know.
I know, so I'll find out. I think it's great.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun and definitely a little spicy here with some of the activity, but thank you so very much, and thank you for all the great work that you do to help everybody, and big blesses avalanche style to you, and thank you very, very much, everybody listening, and to a great blue sky.
Well, thanks, Deb, and hope you'll stick around through the end of the show, and then I'd love to follow up with you after. That's great. Thank you.
And you know what I'm thinking, Beth? I think we need to have her back. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. That would be a pleasure.
Deb, let me ask you to be thinking about something. If we have a moment at the end, okay, I would love for you to tell the story about the schoolyard. You know, you name it, referring to the video clip of children passing balls, and it was Dan Simmons did the research at University of Illinois. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, that's a great one. That is a really great one. You could probably say it really well, too, yourself, because I can hear it in your voice. It's a great one.
Well, we'll see. If we have time, then maybe we can do that. And if we don't have time, then everybody just needs to read your book, and that's a good thing, too. And we can get your book through Amazon.com, right?
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's on Kindle now, bookstores through Ingram. It's around.
Excellent. Okay, well, great. Well, before I give our listeners a preview of next week's show, or rather Beth does, is there anything particularly purposeful, Beth, that you want to share about what's going on in your life?
Sure.
I am just honored to have been here, and I just hope that everybody listening knows that their best day can be tomorrow, and everything can change in the blink of an eye, and just keep going because you don't know what you don't know, and don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle.
That's great. Thank you. And Beth, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Well, yeah, I think my son has been staying with me for the past few days, and he's 20. And so I've been, you know, finishing Deb's book and talking to Michael about some of the quotes and things like that. And what's been really great is it's given me an opportunity to share more about what I do, and we've talked a lot about life purpose and the gifts that we have and the things that we have to share and what we're meant to do. So, yeah, I think that's very purposeful for me to actually be able to talk to my son about that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And the book has been a springboard for that.
Yay, thank you, Deb.
Thank you.
That's less threatening when it's coming from someone else, right, instead of just other words. Yeah. Well, anyway, for me, the purposeful thing, besides this interview, of course, has been that my family is on vacation. We're at Myrtle Beach and very much enjoying just bike riding and swimming and just taking some time to reflect and walks with the family and doing water aerobics, all of that. So, you know, very, very happy about being on vacation. And, in fact, it's purposeful because we need to just recharge our batteries and relax and spend time with our loved ones, and it's so important. So that is absolutely the most purposeful thing I'm doing this week, and gratefully it's lasting all week. So anyway, Beth, would you please give our listeners a taste of next week's show?
Absolutely. And it really seems to just be a nice follow to what we have done today. We're going to talk next week to Betty Liedtke, who is the author of a book called, she's going to talk to you about Find Your Buried Treasure in Yourself and the World. And she's also an author. She's a writer, professional speaker, and she's also a certified dream coach, The Waking Dreams with Marsha Weider. And she's the founder of Find Your Buried Treasure, which is a company whose mission is to help people discover their strengths and stretch beyond their ability to achieve their greatest dreams. So one of her strongest convictions is that nothing is impossible if we want it badly enough and if we're willing to do the work to achieve it. She helps people to discover what's most special and unique about each of us. And often these are talents and gifts that we don't even realize that we'll have. So she'll be sharing her insights and tips on how we can find our own buried treasure and use our gifts to enrich not only ourselves, but also the world. And that's pretty purposeful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And Deb, I think we do have a couple minutes here, if you can just tell the story about the children with one half of them wearing red shirts and the other half wearing white shirts. Can you tell that?
Yeah. Okay. So Dan Simons, he did this study, and you can find it and read it in more detail. But what he did is he got up in a classroom and he said to everybody in the room, okay, you're going to watch a video. Now, half of the room is going to look at the kids in the red shirt, and the other half of the room is going to look at the kids in the white shirt. And what he asked each side to do was look at how many times the kids in the red shirt passed the ball and how many times the kids in the white shirt passed the ball. So then he puts the video on, and everybody's looking at the video, and they're very intent, and they're looking at the video, and they're looking at the video. And so then the video's over. So he asked the people that were monitoring the shirts, the red shirts, and they said, you know, 11 times, 12 times, 20 times. Everybody had a different number. So then he asked the people with the white shirts, and they basically said the same amount of numbers. And so then he says, okay, now what I want you to do is I'm going to play the video again, and I want you to watch it, but I don't want you to count how many times the kids are passing the ball. That's not the objective now. That's not the instruction. What I want you to do is just look at the video. Okay, so then he plays the video, and there's, you know, you can see the kids, and they're passing the ball and passing the ball. And then all of a sudden, you see this huge guy, about 6'5", jumping in the middle of the kids, dancing around in a gorilla suit. And everybody starts breaking out hysterically in the room, because here's this man in the gorilla suit in the middle of the kids who was there before. But the people were so focused because they were told, they were conditioned, look at the red shirts, look at the white shirts, focus on how many times they're passing the ball. And they were so focused on how many times they were passing the ball that they did not notice that somebody had jumped in a gorilla suit into the whole scene of the picture. And it's really phenomenal, because if you actually look at the video that he showed, you can go on the web and find it. You know, I, for myself, I hit replay, and I was just, no way, this is a gimmick, there's no way. And I replayed it, and there it was. I just couldn't believe the man in the gorilla suit, and I hadn't seen it myself, which just goes to show, when we're conditioned to see things in a certain way, when we're not open, we're not thinking, for, you know, expecting the unexpected, if we're not open to new thoughts and new beliefs and new ideas, and we're not paying attention to what we're looking at, who we're around, what we're doing, we can miss the obvious. And don't miss the obvious, because some of the best surprises, some of the things you should avoid, and some of the things you should go towards, you know, they're all in front of us. We just have to have eyes that see. And that story is so amazing, that scientific study, because it shows how we can be so focused on one thing and one objective that we don't even see something so large and huge that's right in front of us. And, you know, there's so many other things that I'm sure we can get from that study, but I know when I watched this myself, it really hit home. And, you know, we need to kind of get those hooks back in our life, like the successful sabotage. You know, when you get that note in your shoe, it's going to remind you, oh, yeah, you know, I remember that now. And, yeah, I've got to kind of get back on track. So that's an interesting study, and I'll have to post that, or I'll give it to you, and you can post it on your website, and people can go and actually look at that study. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. I actually saw that when I was in corporate and with a group of, you know, corporate leaders, and yeah, it was pretty amazing when we realized that most of the people, very few of the people, had actually seen the gorilla. And it also goes to the point of, we see what we expect to see.
Yep.
So what we have our lenses tuned for is what we tend to see. So we ought to pay attention to what kind of lenses we're tuning.
Right. And if you don't have the eyes that can see what you want to see, what do? You go get a pair of glasses. So where are you going to get the glasses? You're going to get your glasses, you know, to see and magnify what you want to see clearly through all these tools that we've talked about today. And they're really, really, really effective.
Excellent. Well, Deb, you've been great. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Beth and Deb. Everybody, you've been listening to Heart and Soul with Jory Fisher, a life, career, and true purpose coach from Lynchburg, Virginia, with Beth Scanzani, a life, leadership, true purpose, and dream coach from Rockport, Massachusetts, and Deb Scott, motivation and lifestyle consultant. Deb, where do you say you hang your hat? Where's your home?
I'm in Newburyport, but the Boston area. That's people know Boston, so I'm the Beantown lady up here.
Well, something tells me then that you and Beth will probably meet in person, which is really cool. And I'm going to be in the Boston area in July, so maybe the three of us can get together.
That would be great. And if some of the listeners are around, they'll have to come and share some of their stories of how they've been turning things right side up. That'll be great.
Very cool. Well, thank you for the work that you've done. The sky is green and the grass is blue, turning your upside down world right side up. It's a fabulous book. We recommend it. And we look forward to everybody joining us next week. And in the meantime, may God bless you, may He keep you, and may He inspire each of you to be the best that you are designed to be. Beth, you want to say goodbye?
All right, goodbye, everybody. It's been a great show. Thank you for listening.
Yeah,
thank you, Deb, for being here.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.